Look, I'm fully aware of how much COVID has messed with our lives this past year. Many of us, for the first time in our lives, have felt trapped, stuck, or even helpless. Now imagine that not just being a year, but a life or a generation of being stuck. That's what happens to kids caught in the cycle of poverty. They are truly stuck. But there is good news. This doesn't have to be their story.
And that's where you come in. I'm sure you didn't wake up this morning thinking, I'm going to be a hero today, but you can. For $38 a month, just about a dollar a day, you can make sure a child living in poverty gets the things they need not only to survive, but to thrive.
You provide your sponsored child food, a better education, clean water, and medical treatment. And here's what I love about partnering with Food for the Hungry. Your gift also helps other kids in the community. So you're not just helping one child, but you're also helping their friends a little as well, because FH wants to build up the entire community.
The other really important part is you get to write to your child and encourage them. This is your faith in action, and your support and the words you share with them will carry and inspire them to accomplish more than they even dreamed possible for themselves.
With everything going on, I know it's easy just to take care of ourselves and put this off till tomorrow, but kids living in poverty, tomorrow feels like an eternity. Plus, I'm telling you that sponsoring one of our Food for the Hungry kids will not only help them, but it will also change you. There is such joy in helping innocent kids who didn't ask for or do anything to deserve this. And we've been blessed with so much in our lives. It's a blessing to be able to sponsor these amazing kids.
It only takes a minute and costs you nothing to see if this is even for you. So check it out, fh.org/Wally Show. Again, that's fh.org/Wally Show. You can also follow FH on Instagram and Twitter.
Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today. And it has been confirmed, we do have the ladies of Barlow. We're going to be doing a Zoom call with them after the show today. So all of the questions that you have been wondering about, we should be getting to the bottom of and getting the answers to some of the things like, are they married? Do they have kids? Why aren't they doing music anymore? Are they going to ever do music again? Like I sat down and wrote a bunch of questions last night that I was like wondering myself aloud, like, I wonder about this. And so we'll go through that kind of stuff with them. And again, this all started from someone that's like listens to the show and is a potty, is like, hey, whatever happened to? And maybe this can be a thing we can do with a bunch of artists that we don't play anymore. We just kind of go back and find them.
Yeah, it made me start wondering, like, because you had tracked down Barlow Girl, and it made me think of other bands that I was like, what happened to them? It made me think of Super Chick.
I ran into Matt, the bass player, two weeks ago. Mm-hmm. He's a realtor now. Like, he left the band. He started doing real estate, and he's crushing it. Like, he's selling high-end homes and doing really well. Mm-hmm. But I was like, are you still doing music at all? And he's like, yeah, it's slowed down a little bit, but he's producing other bands, basically. And mm-hmm. He's not really doing anything for himself.
It made me also think of like Sean McDonald. I loved Sean McDonald.
Oh, did you really? Okay.
And Bethany Dillon. What happened to Bethany Dillon?
Yes, that's true. Yeah, there's a bunch.
She married that guy from Shane.
She married that guy from that Shane thing. I can't remember his name. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Anyway, she married him and they had a bunch of kids.
It's so funny.
And I think she just fell off the planet.
It is weird, like, when you talk about, like, spouses of artists and things like that. Like, if you look at Joel from King & Country and his wife, Mariah. Mm-hmm. Mariah was an artist before him, really. Mariah Peters, I think she preceded him, at least had music out around the same time, if not before. And then she did a girl band called Tralla, which didn't go, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But that's a weird thing for her, I would imagine. Like, okay, for King & Country exploded, and then it's like, she's super talented. So is she like in a good place where, yeah, I'm in the life I should be in? Or does she have part of that performance part that she misses doing? Maybe we'll get them on the show and talk about this. I'd love to know that.
Boom. That sounds dramatic.
Yeah. Well, I'm just curious. It'll be fine. You'll be fine, Rock. You just let me handle this part.
Yeah, I'll let you do it.
So there's a whole bunch of other things like that, like artists that, you know, you wonder why they stopped doing what they did. Or was it just a product cycle? Like, people didn't want to consume the music you were creating anymore,
yeah.
So it forced you to have to go do something
things
else.
Things change.
Yeah. Because one of the guys that was in Super Chick, you brought them up, Max Sue, he was like the behind-the-scenes guy in Super Chick that produced them and stuff like that. He's made bank doing other video work, photography, and producing other bands. Like, he's the wealthiest one out of the whole band.
Wow.
Like, I didn't think anyone came out of that band with any money at all. You know, they were all so young when they started, And he actually did really, really well for himself financially. And he's a super nice guy, too.
But maybe your priorities changed, like back when you were younger. Maybe music was your thing. But
sure.
Now, you know, it's...
A family. Or,
I mean, it changes. Music, like, gets less important to you the older you get a lot of times. When you're in high school, it's everything to you. And you're finding new bands. And you're spending all this time discovering stuff. And music is, it's the soundtrack to your life. And then as you get older, life competes with it. And you stop... seeking out new stuff. And that's why it's always nice to have people that are younger than you that you surround yourself with, because they're finding new things. You're like, oh, that's cool. It kind of makes you feel a little bit younger, still somewhat connected to it. But it definitely changes. And I can imagine as you grow up and you're playing music that, you know, it's like anything. When it becomes a job, that's always the hard part. Mm-hmm. When what you loved and you were passionate about becomes a job, that makes it less fun to do, you know, and sometimes people just pull the cord on that. For me, like,
which
starting,
is not wrong.
No, you should always be passionate about what you're doing. Like, for me, when I stopped being passionate about this, I mean, like, you guys are like, oh man, he's crazy, he flies off the handle about things, but I'm passionate. Mm-hmm. So the day I stop caring is the day you have to worry. Like, that's the day that, like, when I don't care about how anything shakes out anymore, then that's when I'm done. You know, it's like, because I want to be passionate about what I do, and I love what I get to do, so it hasn't gone away for me yet, you know, and so I've still got a few more years in me, I hope. but anywho, so yeah, it was Barlow Girl. We'll have them probably tomorrow is my hope, possibly, if not tomorrow, for sure by Friday, but I'm hoping for tomorrow. William Shakespeare wrote What's in a Name when he wrote Romeo and Juliet. And there's a debate now that I never thought we'd be having. It's the titles of people going into space. Like, astronauts are like, hey, I'm an astronaut. I went through to space with NASA, you know? Mm-hmm. And a lot of them think that people, because did you know that there's an emerging field of amateur rocketeers that are trying to get into space?
Yeah. No, that's not amazing. That's scary, because not anybody should be able to.
That's what you think.
Put themselves in space.
But then
you don't figure out if you don't try.
Yeah, I mean, there are companies that are figuring this out. Elon Musk is going to be sending amateurs into space. Russia has done it before.
We're going to be living on Mars before you know it.
That'd be amazing. And so there are NASA's new boss, Bill Nelson, doesn't consider himself an astronaut, even though he was in space for 6 days orbiting the Earth. But he's like, I reserve that term for my professional colleagues. So he has even a thing of people that, like, did it longer than him. He considers them astronauts. But then you have people that are just, you know, making rockets, or they're buying their way onto a trip with Elon Musk or some of these others. And they're like, yeah, I went to space, I'm an astronaut. And that's what people think. I actually kind of think that. Whether you bought it or you worked for it, if you went to space, you're an astronaut. Not a professional astronaut.
No,
you
can
make that distinction.
But they're saying, like, amateur. Like, amateur rocket, amateur astronaut.
I watched a show on, I watch all these weird shows. Like, I found it on Netflix, I think. It was Netflix or Prime. And it was about amateurs that are creating spaceships that they hope to go to space in. There's one guy that's been working on it for like 8 years, and he spent, you know, $100,000 getting a spacesuit ready to go and stuff. And I'm thinking $100,000 seems cheap for a spacesuit, you know, because they're.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. They're super expensive.
I Googled what's the definition of an astronaut.
Yes.
It says it's a person who is trained to travel in a spacecraft.
Okay. See, there was a guy in Russia that paid to go up, and he spent time in the space station. And he's like, look, I trained for 2 years to do this. So, yes, I'm
an
astronaut. Maybe he's a businessman, but he's an astronaut. I think so. I think you could have a thing of professional astronaut and amateur astronaut, but they're still going to space.
What if you identify as a professional
astronaut? As an astronaut. Hey, I'm an astronaut. I can identify as it. You can do anything like that. It's so good. I need to get more into that show. I've only watched a little bit of it, but that's definitely one that I want to get into. There was this guy that is trying to make his world a little bit better. He started taking rubber ducks for some reason and putting them in his yard, the little like bath time ducks. Mm-hmm. And then as people were walking by, he started writing messages in these ducks, like using the ducks to make words. He has like hundreds of them. And so he would write things like be strong, reach for the stars, be kind. And like people like actually started getting into it. And then people would drive by his house just to see what he was writing that day. That's how, like, I mean, it seems silly and like ridiculous, but in a time where people have been disconnected from people, or there's so much anger and frustration and hate, that you have somebody that's at least, you know, one ducky at a time putting good into the world, I think that's attractive. Like, people gravitate towards that, because you can get consumed by the hate, and it's exhausting. But then when you see people that are doing something good for no reason other than just to be good, I think people gravitate towards that. And I almost think it is like a scientific, you know, theory, like every action has an equal and opposite reaction. I think it's the same thing. The more hate you get and people get polarized, when you get in times like that in our society, the more people then will gravitate towards the silly things like a duck and a message of hope in the midst of a kind of the mess. I think as bad as it gets, it raises the table for the good to happen as well, and the good to actually mean a little bit more.
Or we can find the good in something very, very simple.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we probably need more of these days. So what do you got, Lady Rock, for Lisa these?
So the 2021 TV season is more or less in the books, the 2020 to 2021. So there are the 10 most watched series of the year, and you know, a lot of people watch TV during this time because a lot of us were staying at home. So, Sunday Night Football came in at number one.
I've not seen a single Sunday Night Football game this year, last year, year before, or probably in the last 10.
Thursday Night Football came in second.
Have not seen that either. Gavin, you set your, like, do you watch football by those times, or are you not a football fan?
Well, definitely a football fan, but, you know, a Sunday night game or a Thursday night game, it's like starts at 7. So, I don't stay up for that.
Monday Night Football came in at 3.
Jeez. Nice.
Everybody loves their football.
1, 2, and 3 is all football.
Then at number 4, we had a tie between This Is Us and The Masked Singer.
Oh, I never got into The Masked Singer. Mm-hmm. I like This Is Us, but it's run its course for me. I'm glad it's on its last season. I'm like, okay, end on a high note and be done. But Masked Singer, like, never. I tried to watch a full episode, and then I was like, eh, and then I went back to it, because sometimes I'll watch something and that I'm on, and I go back to it, and I really like it. That was not one I ever got into.
Then coming in at, let's see, 3, 4, 5, 5th, a tie between The Equalizer and Grey's Anatomy.
Ooh.
Grey's Anatomy is like on season.
It should be
quadruple
done.
17, 18. 4 billion.
They're having like flashbacks,
like,
now, and she's in heaven or something.
How can
with
she have that
dreamy
much drama in her life?
She
like
has corona.
She needs to go see a counselor.
Yeah,
she has corona now.
She had corona. I think she had her pants, like, and she was in a coma.
What?
And was in on a beach, and she was reliving all these. I haven't watched this. I've been following it on social media.
Okay,
but she like met McDreamy.
Right.
Because he died, right?
Yeah, he did die like a while back.
Did
and
he
then
die
a couple
in the plane crash episode?
No, that was Mark and her sister.
For somebody who doesn't watch
lot
this,
no,
you
no, no,
are
no
really
I've
following
I've watched
it
most of the show, okay, but it's that thing where you're like, okay, I've watched a lot of the show, and then I'm exhausted because there's too much. So
the doctors and lawyer shows always start off good the first season, where because they're doing the cases, whether it's, you know, doctor in or lawyer in, and you're like, oh, that's interesting. Wow, that's a great twist. But then from season 2 on, it's always about the drama, and it becomes a soap opera. As always, it's a nighttime soap opera,
though, if it's
complete
a,
with comas.
A medical show, though, I wonder if, and again, I won't. Not a good thing, but I wonder if COVID was a beneficial thing for them, in a sense that they're like, oh, new content for the show. That's new stuff we get to write into the show.
It's something that we actually are living in that we want an escape from watching TV.
It would be hard to turn to it.
Can't stand shows that are covering COVID like they're going through it, because I'm like, you're a TV show, and like we're going through this just like you are, you know, kind of thing. And it's just so laden with agenda. Like, you can see it writing. It's writing copy points. And that's what I don't like, because it doesn't feel real. It seems like we're going in, we know we're going to say this, and this is what we publicly want to get across. And so now, instead of just being funny or entertaining or you know, doing good content, we've put the agenda ahead of it. Same problem with almost every Christian film. Where they start the writing of it with the agenda instead of the art. Tell a great story that has the theme of Christianity in it, and you've got a winner. But when you start from, we're going to come out against abortion, and then you work backwards and you tell the story, you don't tell it as well as if you start from the personal place of somebody that's struggling through like this decision, and you really start from that place of empathy, and it's not all about the agenda. It's about furthering the character, you know, because I think I've always said this, and I've told this to people that do Christian movies that like produce them or that have been in them, and I'm like, most Christian movies, there's always that point where they're going to bring it home and lay down the gospel and the rule we're supposed to all learn. And I've told them, I said, man, when you're writing a film, a Christian film, like, go ahead and write everything out you want. And then every time you're in that moment, take the last paragraph and throw it away. Because you'll get to a point where you're like, oh, that's really good. That's a good place. It's not too heavy-handed. It feels good. And then it comes over the top. And it's like, and to be saved, you must do these three things. And it gets into like a pitch almost. And you lose the art inside of it, you know, and that's been always my thing with Christian films for sure. Mm. What else made the list?
And then tied for sixth was 9-1-1, which I haven't seen. That's on Fox, solid. Along with The Bachelor and The Bachelorette on ABC.
Oh, yeah. New season coming up. New season coming up with one of the girls from last season.
Are you going to watch it?
Yeah,
you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I don't hate this girl. Like, this girl that's coming up, I kind of liked her on the thing, so maybe I'll watch a little bit.
Okay.
And then I'll have as much information about that as Gavin does on Grey's Anatomy. And then I'll deny ever watching it.
I keep up with it on social media.
I do.
All right, so no birthdays today.
No birthdays. Okay. No one was born.
All right, so just a couple warnings coming up next week. No aftercast or podcast on Monday because of Memorial Day. So enjoy your Memorial Day. And then on Wednesday, because I'm traveling for a work thing, but we'll be here Tuesday, Thursday, Friday as normal. So there you go. There's your warning. And as always, thanks for being a potty.